We live in a nation today where everybody is demanding. And there's a lack of any of what we're going to be teaching here in a moment, of what the scripture teaches about the importance and power of discipline in our lives and what discipline means to us as a people, as followers of Jesus Christ. It's a painful thing when we see children that we love or people that we love who will just reject discipline.
Welcome to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. He's a conference speaker and coach, and your advocate for the family. It's day one of Dr. Randy's series, Growing Through Discipline. Now from the Intentional Living Center in Tucson, Arizona, where we want to help you be intentional for your life, here's Randy.
All right. Thank you much, Kurt. And I do welcome you to the Intentional Living Center as we begin this series of growing through discipline in our lives. And you'll hear me in a few minutes as I take you to the teaching studio. But I'm going to reference Proverbs chapter 12, where we're reminded that whoever loves discipline loves knowledge. And discipline is a part of life. We discipline our children. We are to be disciplined in our lives. We're disciplined at work. Discipline makes a big difference. We're going to expand on growing through discipline. And as I take you over to the teaching studio, I'm going to begin with a little physical exercise with the staff as I have them stand. And you'll hear me referencing Yuma, Arizona. And it'll all make sense as you listen to it here in just a moment. Love to hear your thoughts on discipline. How has discipline made a difference in your life? Tell us on our storyline at 888-888-1717. Now to the teaching studio and day one, growing through discipline. Everybody stand up for a minute. Put your papers down or whatever. Why don't you close your eyes? And I want you to, with your eyes closed, I want you to point in the direction where you think Yuma is. Ready? Point and then hold your hand. Everybody point. All right, all right. Okay, open your eyes and look and see where everybody's pointing. We're going this direction, we're going that direction, we're going this direction. I didn't see anybody going this way. Yuma's that way. Okay? So about half of us got it right. Thank you. Congratulate yourself. And you can sit down.
Never been there.
Good guess. You know, isn't that how many of us kind of run our lives? You know, when we're asked to point in a certain direction, we all have a different direction we think we should head or a different direction. And that can happen in families as well, can it? And there's a verse, a parenting verse in Proverbs 22:6. And I love how Eugene Peterson treats this in the Message. He says, point your kids in the right direction, and when they're old, they won't be lost. Isn't that great? You know, what that pointing means when you look in other translation, we look in the NIV or in the New King James, it says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he won't depart from it. And training, when we train our children, or when we train in a business setting, or when you go to the military and you train, training requires a process of learning, and learning requires a process of discipline. And that's what I want to talk about today. I want to talk about the word discipline. The question is discipline a noun or a verb? Well, as you're thinking about it, you've probably come to the conclusion that it's both, isn't it? Because discipline comes from the Latin root of discipulus, which means pupil. In other words, it also includes being a disciple. And so as parents, when we are disciplining our children, so often what we think of is punishment. But the real root of this thing of discipline is to come from the idea of being a disciple, of training our children. So discipline is both a noun and a verb. It's a noun when you think of area of study. People have a discipline of study. When I went to the university, I studied business. I was in the discipline of business. And then in my graduate work, I went into the discipline of psychology for my master's and doctorate and studied that discipline. That's clearly a discipline of learning. But there's also the word discipline. It's a verb too, isn't it? It's an active thing that we discipline, which means we train or correct. And sometimes we think of punishment as being a part of discipline. Military requires discipline, doesn't it? You go into the military and you are disciplined. Those young men and women are disciplined to study the discipline of war, how to defend this nation. If you're in athletics, you learn the discipline of your sport. You learn to discipline your body to bring it into subjection so it can perform on the field. And the men and women who do that are disciplined. Here's the point of the lesson that I want to share with you today. It comes from Proverbs 12:1. Write that down. Or if you have your Bible, open to it. Here's the main point of the lesson today. If you love learning, the scripture says, you love discipline that goes with it. How short-sighted to refuse correction. Isn't that a powerful proverb? What the proverb writer is saying is, if you want to learn, you're going to have a disciplined life. You're going to have to experience discipline in your life, and it's stupid if you don't do it, if you don't allow correction in your life. Parents, we, and grandparents, we are commanded to discipline our children. When I go out and speak in conferences or calls on intentional living with parenting, this is the number one question. How do I discipline my kids? That's the question that's always asked. How do I discipline them? Should I spank them? Should I put them in time out? Should I talk to them? I'm inconsistent. I don't follow through. Discipline is something that even from a very young age with our children, parents understand that there's a need to have discipline in the home. Without it, things fall apart. You know, it's a painful thing. Some of you maybe have seen this in your children or grandchildren or families you know, to have a child and watch them struggle to learn. They want to learn, but they have a learning disability. And they end up with special needs training, or they have to go to special classes, and our hearts ache for these kids, and we want the best for these kids. And that's a painful thing. And some of you have children that have special needs, and you know how difficult it can be. That discipline is something that you wrestle with. But you know what's even more difficult? Is to watch a child refuse to accept the discipline in their life. Some of you have seen that. You've had rebellious sons or daughters. You've had rebellious grandchildren or friends that you know. And the discipline that comes into their life, they reject, they rebel. I've shared the story of, that's closest to me, is seeing it up close in our own family with my wife Donna and her sister Sherry. These two girls, and you didn't, I don't think any of you ever really probably knew Sherry, but here's Donna and Sherry 18 months apart, and one grows in a home with the same discipline and responds to that discipline and grows in that discipline, gives her life to Christ and lives a life in submission to Christ. And the sister closest to her rejects the discipline, rejects the correction, and goes into a life of personal destruction and early death. That's a sad thing, isn't it? And we shake our heads when we see the lack of discipline. And I'm thinking of our country today, how undisciplined we are as a people. We live in a nation today where everybody is demanding, demanding, demanding. And there's a lack of any of what we're going to be teaching here in a moment, of what the scripture teaches about the importance and power of discipline in our lives and what discipline means to us as a people, as followers of Jesus Christ. It's a painful thing when we see children that we love or people that we love who will just reject discipline in their life.
You're listening to Dr. Randy's teaching from Growing Through Discipline, and he'll continue in just a moment. When you become a new monthly member, we'll send you the Intentional Living New Member Kit, which includes Dr. Randy's bestsellers, Starve for Affection and The Power of One Thing, which, by the way, are autographed, the Intentional Living Wristband, and his coaching CDs every month. Call 1-888-888-1717 and press number 4. Again, that's 1-888-1717 during West Coast business hours, or go to theintentionallife.com. Thanks. Don't go away. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
Do you ever feel guilty, even when you didn't do anything? Do you say sorry when it wasn't your fault? What does that mean?
This is the Intentional Living Minute. Here's psychologist Dr. Gregory Jantz, our intentional mental health specialist.
If you struggle with feelings of shame and unworthiness, I've got some good news for you. We're all unworthy. God is the only perfect one. It's time to let the heavy expectations go. That means spending more time encouraging people and reading God's Word. The Bible says, "For you created my innermost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made." That might be a scripture you write out and keep it with you to read when you feel those insecure feelings coming on. God's Word is powerful. Let it define you instead of your insecurities. For Intentional Living, I'm Dr. Greg Jantz.
For more insight and encouragement, go to theintentionallife.com.
In our social media crazed world, isn't it nice that there's a place to encourage your intentional life?
I find something new every morning when I visit.
I get great nuggets of encouragement. Some of the comments are amazing.
The Intentional Living Facebook page is here for you to help you stay intentional, to encourage you, and let you know that in your walk, you're really not alone.
It's the one place on Facebook I actually like seeing show up on my walk.
Find out what's on today's show and join the conversation. Go to facebook.com/intentionalliving and click like today.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. With your gift to the ministry, you'll receive not only today's program, but all of them in this multi-part teaching. Go to theintentionallife.com or call during West Coast business hours at 1-888-1717 and press number 4. Now, let's get back with Dr. Randy as he continues his teaching from Growing Through Discipline.
You know, we call it intentional parenting, where we teach parents to use logical and natural consequences. In other words, life is a great teacher. If kids disrespect their toys, you remove the toys. If children refuse to eat and throw a fit, you remove the food. You don't have to punish them. There's a life lesson. As they get older, if they're rebellious and disobedient, you take the car keys away because they're not being responsible enough to drive the car. In other words, we let life become the teacher. That's a great way of teaching our kids. We call that intentional parenting. We do whole conferences on how to apply the principles of intentional parenting to raising our kids in a godly way, where you don't have to raise your voice or raise your hand. You can be intentional in allowing life to teach the lessons, but that's also true for us. I want to talk about that in just a few minutes. So why is it that we discipline? I was thinking, why is it that we discipline our children? Why is it that we spend hours caring for, making sure that we're training our children, disciplining our children? We don't discipline the neighbor's kids, right? It's our own kids. And I was thinking, because we love our children, right? That's why we do it. We love our kids because we want them to be successful in life. So we discipline them because we want them to learn about how the world works and what God's intentions are for their life. So we discipline them. Because you know that if they don't learn these lessons now, they're going to have a harder time later on. You've seen it in your own life or in the life of others. And you know if they can learn some lessons in life, that's going to be easier for them. Because you want them to avoid some of the mistakes that you've made. I think all of us, we go through life and we make mistakes and we say, when we have our own kids, I don't want my kids to make those same mistakes. Now, they probably will, because that's life. That's the cycle of life. But we want our children to live a disciplined life. Yesterday, Steve Tanner gave me a great quote from someone he had interviewed, Gary Randall. It's a really powerful quote when you think about discipline. Randall said, "Discipline is a practice that makes punishment unnecessary." Wow, pretty good, isn't it? We want our kids to learn and learn quickly, to have a disciplined life so they don't have to experience all the pain and punishment that comes from the mistakes that kids can make and we can make. I just want to put a parenthesis in here, a parenthetical thought before I turn the corner and really bring it home to us. Because you know what? This isn't a parenting lesson. I didn't write this lesson to even talk about kids. I'm using our children as an illustration of discipline for us. But just a parenthetical thought. When we jump in too quickly, when our children are facing something, and rescue them, we rob them of the discipline that God may have wanted to teach them. How many parents jump in because we don't want our children to face pain, so we jump in and we solve their problem and go to the school and make it better when they should face the problem themselves, or they've picked up something out of the store and shoplift and we go and make it better, or whatever the things that we do to jump in to solve our kids' problems, instead of allowing them to learn from life some of the lessons that they need to learn so they can live a disciplined life later on. And let me just add this. We do this sometimes in our Christian walk. We can jump in and rescue someone that we know, a brother, a sister, a friend, from what they're going through when God's trying to do something in their life. We can jump in and try to make it all better for them. And in the process, we rob them of whatever God may be trying to teach them. Now, it doesn't mean we don't help and we don't support and we don't stand with them. But be careful when it comes to this thing on discipline, because in a moment, as we look at Scripture, to understand that God's discipline is good for us. Boy, and it's a hard lesson. This is why I almost didn't teach this today, because this lesson is a hard one. As we turn the corner in a moment and talk about discipline in our lives, we can see it with our kids. We can see it with our grandkids, right? We can see it in our culture. But when it comes to us and the discipline in our life, that's a harder thing. We don't like that.
Boy, is that true? We love it for others. We appreciate the discipline for our children, for our government leaders, our church leaders, but sometimes not in our own life. Discipline. Learning to be self-disciplined. We'll continue more on this in just a few minutes. In fact, after we complete our teaching in the teaching studio at the Intentional Living Center, I will often open up the microphone and pass it around to visitors and staff who are in attendance, and we're going to get some of those testimonies and comments in just a moment. Before we do, I want to stop again and say thank you. I don't think we can do it enough. Or too much, to say thank you to those of you who support the ministry. And here we are in the middle of April, and I just want you to know I appreciate you standing with us in your regular, faithful, monthly support. Please stick with us. We appreciate it. And the new members who are joining us, like Sarah, who's just recently joined from Lapeer, Michigan. Here is Dell from Arkansas, Rogers, Arkansas, listening online on the web. Thank you for joining. If you're not a member, I'm going to give you an invitation in just a moment to come and join us to be a part of the ministry. But I want you to know that we can't do this without your help. And this time of year, it's always a difficult time, and your financial support, whatever it may be, is so appreciated. And when you join us monthly today, I'm going to send you two of our best-selling books from the Intentional Living Center autographed, The Power of One Thing and Starve for Affection, along with some core teaching from this month, and then every month a brand new teaching from me to you to say thank you for your support. Simply go to theintentionallife.com, that's theintentionallife.com, and click on donate. And as promised, coming up in just a moment, some of those testimonies from our staff.
And I'm going to make it a point to intentionally practice my Step 11 in the AA program to improve our conscious contact with God, praying only for the knowledge of His will and the power to carry that out. And I'm going to make it intentional to follow Christ better.
Lately, I realized that I'm not going to ever believe the lie that I can't turn back to God. No matter what I've done, I am intentionally always going to turn back to God and always pray to Him and always give it back to Him.
My fear is of taking that full step, dedicating myself fully to God and being intentionally with Him and doing all the things that one should do for Him. My biggest fear is I want to do that, but I can't seem to pull myself to do it.
I just want to make a decision to intentionally try to get closer to God, and I hope God will intentionally protect me and take care of me and save me.
Let me ask the question, so we have to tell us what you all been through, but as much as what have you learned in life? What has God taught you through some of the discipline in your life?
Two words that come to my mind in discipline is trust and love. My dad was a teacher, and so he would do the hands off so I could learn the lesson. But I learned to trust him, and obviously I loved him a lot. And I've noticed that that's my parenting style now. So as I've gone through the life lessons for myself, I see myself reverting to that same kind of parenting, as sometimes you let them go through the process, and then you're there for the training, the discipleship. So I trusted my father, and I feel that same relationship, obviously, with my son. But love. And I think of the same with athletes. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm in the golf, so you trust your swing. So it's a discipline, and you love the game. So
you think about that from the standpoint of trust, like you said, Adam. In the military, the recruits have to trust that drill sergeant or that commander going into battle, complete trust that whatever doesn't make sense, they're trusting that they know what they're doing. Same thing is true with an athlete. These coaches, I mean, they all have systems, and the athletes have to submit to that system. They have to submit to that coach's plan of how things are to operate, or the team doesn't function and their life is not going to be successful. So that's good. What else? Yes.
As most of you know, a few years ago I had to leave here because of my husband's career took us back to California. I was very angry, taking me away from my family, a church I loved, a job that I just dearly loved. And what I realized as we lived through it is God had a completely different growth plan in mind. I could not have grown the way I grew when I was removed from this environment because I had nothing to cling and hold on to. So he put us in an awesome church. He got us involved in so many areas that just expanded our growth and our life. We became closer as a couple in a new and vibrant way because we had nothing but each other and what God was doing for us. And it was amazing. And I think the two lessons that I learned is you can't grow where you're comfortable, and God is always there.
That's good.
I've been learning a form of accepting discipline. I've been dealing with, some of you know, with tendinosis in my right arm especially. So I started going to the gym last fall and getting into a routine, and I've learned when you're doing a repetition, if you're thinking, I just have to get to 12, it's really hard. Because you just struggle getting to that last, you know, rep. But if you just do it and accept it and sort of thrive in it, it's a lot easier. Because you just believe you're supposed to be doing this. If you don't want to be doing it, if you resist it, it's really hard to get those three reps in.
And right.
I think that same dynamic works in just any discipline that we have in our lives.
That's good, Matt. That'll bridge.
One of the things I've learned is the older you get, the more important it is to respond quickly to God's discipline. So I put in my mind and heart the concept of being a first responder, that when you are sensing something from Jesus there in terms of discipline, what does a first responder do? First thing he or she does is drop what they're doing, turn a different direction, turn the lights on, and change behavior. And the older you get, the more important that will be, because it's harder to respond, to sense God's, to know it's God's discipline, and respond as you get older because of the set patterns you're in. Mm-hmm. It's time to change that. And so I put in my mind and heart being a first responder. And just go. Just drop and go.
That's good.
I've seen what we're talking about, and I can resonate directly with what you're sharing, Mike. And having the opportunity to come alongside someone recently, and I think that I've seen directly because of that opportunity that God will allow people to hit absolute rock bottom because he wants your heart. Mm-hmm. He wants your heart, and he won't leave you where he can't have all of you.
Hi, this is Janet calling. He's talking about leaning into problems, what's going on in our life. Right now I'm going through breast cancer and leaning into it intentionally. A co-worker calligraphied for me part of Philippians 4. And I also heard Philippians 4 recommended as a stress-free diet to stop watching the evening news, start reading Philippians 4. And so through this, I'm in the middle of my chemotherapy, but every day I'm leaning into Philippians 4 and letting God carry me. And just before the chemo treatments, I call my Christian friends and ask them to support me in prayer. And they are anyway. Rejoice in the Lord and see the marvelous work he's going to accomplish through this difficult time. Thank you.
That's great. Hey, that's a great solution. She's referencing Philippians 4, starting with verse 4, and he says, rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And then the verse, my life verse, whatever things are true and noble and right and pure and lovely and admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Philippians 4:8. That's a good, it's a good antidote for some of the worry that we have in our lives, right? Growing through change. We're going to continue, or growing through discipline, rather. We're going to continue tomorrow here at the Intentional Living Center. And I want to invite you, I want to challenge you to step up and for your own life to live intentionally. And we'd like to come alongside and encourage you, and we do that to our members. Every member who stands in support every month, we get a chance to send you my teaching on CD. Plus, we have a new member kit including two of our best-selling intentional living books, The Power of One Thing, a book for you on the power of one thing for your life, and then Star for Affection, just a very helpful intentional living book on marriage. Just go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. More tomorrow, and we're going to turn to the book of Hebrews chapter 12 and see how it relates to this topic on discipline. Have a good day, and we'll see you tomorrow with more Intentional Living.